Good evening and welcome to this Building Bridges Your Community and Labor Report exclusive, the transit strike. The people of New York City are waking up this morning, woke up already to a major dilemma. There's a New York City transit strike. We will examine the issues pertinent thereto. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash, and we'll begin our coverage with the Building Bridges exclusive, the last major speech by local president Roger Toussaint at the Transit Community Labor Rally yesterday, hitting on the major themes of the conflict, the intransigence of the MTA, sabotage of negotiations, lack of respect for the union, and demand to buy the MTA to sell out the next generation of transit workers. And of course, he was calling for public support and labor support for the strike.
Who got the power?
We got the power.
What kind of power? They say cut back.
We say cut back.
They say give back.
We say cut back.
What do we want?
Contract.
What do we want?
Contract.
When do we want it?
Now.
I want to thank the so many unions that are out here from so far and wide, all the community organizations, all the goodwill elected officials that have come out here to show support for Transport Workers Union Local 100. And it says, brothers and sisters, that the world, New York City, New York State, working people all over, understand the importance and significance of the battle that we are engaged in. The forces are now joined. People understand that we are fighting to hold the line to defend the idea that New York is a labor town and will continue to be a labor town. People understand that the fight here is over whether future generations will have health care, decent health care, so your family could be attended to. People understand that this is a struggle over dignity and respect. And let me tell you something here. When it comes to dignity and respect, transit workers are tired, tired, tired. We are tired of being underappreciated. We are tired of being disrespected. We are tired of being intimidated. All we are asking for is to hold on to a decent wage, decent health benefits, and the right to a decent retirement. From the beginning, the MTA has refused to negotiate in good faith because from day one, they bargained in bad faith. One year ago, they had a deficit. Now they end up with over a $1 billion surplus. Funny money, funny math, funny arithmetic at the MTA. From the time they discovered that they had a surplus, they spent every waking moment trying to burn it up before our contract expired. They came up with the idea of buying themselves a new office building even after they had wasted over $300 million on 2 Broadway. Then they came up with the idea of creating a concrete platform over the West Side Yards and going into real estate speculation. And then it was discount fares from Thanksgiving to through the New Year. It was everything except the needs of the riders and of their own workers. Everything except that. And from the time they came to the table, they had their hands up in the air saying, we want binding arbitration. We told them, go to hell. You will go to binding arbitration only over the dead bodies of our leadership. Nobody decides the contract for transit workers except transit workers. Regardless of what the law says. Because we also told them that we have learned a thing or two about the law. If Rosa Parks had obeyed the law, many of us who are driving buses today would still be in the back of the bus. And now we want to drive the bus with dignity and respect. And that's what this contract is about. So there's a calling that's higher than the law, and that's the calling of justice and equality in this land. And we intend to claim that mantle for transit workers. We told them several years ago that a new day has arrived at the MTA. The days of concessionary bargaining, the Reagan years, are no more. We need some recovery. We need some respect on the job. We need some expectation that our seniority rights will be honored and respected, and we would not be subject to the arbitrary tutelage of supervisors and managers. And that's what this contract is about. This is not just about wages and some pensions and health benefits, and that, those things are vital. It's about respect. It's about security for our people. It's about what we deserve. And I'll tell you this, it's very interesting watching the powers that be and the folks that sit on their thrones and wag their fingers, because it is very clear that they don't realize that they are messing with the wrong crew. You pick the wrong fight, you pick the wrong crew to take on. Because our union transit workers have a glorious legacy. It runs in our blood. And like Reverend Al said, if we're not afraid of the rats in the subway, we're not afraid of the rats above the subway either. Okay. We intend to bring home a contract that is honest and just and fair, and not one that was rammed down our throat. And we were concerned that the way the MTA was negotiating is that they were using stall tactics, so in the hope that at the very end, all of our legitimate demands for justice, equality, and fair treatment would have to fall off the table because certain key issues had been resolved, but many, many key issues had been left unresolved. And we told them that they were not going to dodge the bullet this time. Face the city of New York, the state of New York, and working people, and join with them and talk to them, working men and women to working men and women. Choose your sides. Choose your sides. Workers should side with workers. Those who labor should side with those who labor. People should not be easily fooled by the smooth talking of the rich and powerful. And the rich and powerful should give up on keeping underestimating poor, hard-working people. We are everyday heroes, our working people. We accomplish a miracle just holding life and limb together and holding our families together under the pressures of this society. But we are underappreciated, tremendously underappreciated. And this struggle here is about laying down a milestone, a building block to regain the dignity and respect for all working people. And we ask for the understanding, patience, and consideration of all our fellow working people. We need the support of all goodwill New Yorkers. We need their understanding and their patience and their forbearance. We want them to know that we appreciate that. We think we deserve that because we have worked tirelessly to move New York, to move 7 to 8 million people every single day. And we go through a lot. People don't know that our bus drivers and train crews have to give up their weekends and their afternoons with their families for 10 and 15 and 20 years. Folks don't know that. They don't know that we spend that 6,000 people in maintenance away, spend eight hours and more dodging trains and working next to a live third rail for 8 hours a day. They don't realize what that is about. They don't realize our members walk on 176 miles of elevated structure with the risk of falling from heights every single day. They don't understand the chemical exposures that we are constantly exposed to, the steel dust. Folks don't understand the sacrifices that transit workers make. And we are tired and we need some respect and we're going to get it. And I'll end by repeating for you, and this deserves to be repeated again and again in the ears of New Yorkers, how the Transit Authority handled train operator Lewis Moore on December 1st. And let me tell you what happened. Jackson Avenue Station, Brother Moore was found unconscious on one end of a work train by his partner. So a call was made to command that we had an unconscious train operator laid out. And the train was one station away from 149th Street. Upstairs at 149th Street is a hospital, Lenox Hill Hospital. Lincoln Hospital, I'm sorry. Command center told the work train operator to take the train 7 stations north instead to 180th Street, because if they had put the train into 149th Street station, which have just 2 local tracks, they would have had to plug service and postpone service on the number 2 line. So they directed the train 7 stations away in order to not interrupt service. And as transit workers, we know that if there was a damn dog on the tracks, they would have turned off power, stopped service on all tracks, and retrieved that dog. But not for the life of a transit worker. Their attitude is, move on over, push them to the next side, push us to the next side, bring another transit worker up to sacrifice. That's their attitude. That's our lives. That's our reality. And we're fired up and we're not taking it no more. And I'll tell you this, the longer they take to settle a contract, the higher the price tag on a settlement. And they should bear that in mind. The price goes up. And we'll be calling on our brothers and sisters across the labor movement to engage in actions of solidarity, slowdowns, and protests, and sympathy actions with us. Because our fight is their fight, and their fight is our fight. And our sacrifice is about their families as well as our families. So link arms, brothers and sisters, fellow transit workers, stand shoulder to shoulder, stand firm. We're not going to blink. Stay firm, stay strong. One union, united, invincible. Who got the power? Who got the power? Who got the power? What kind of power? What kind of power? What kind of power? They say cut back.
We say
fight back. They say give back.
We say fight back.
They say cut back.
We say
fight back. They say give back.
We say fight back.
What do we want? What do we want?
That was the rally at Governor Pataki's headquarters, and it was at Governor Pataki's headquarters because Governor Pataki is calling the shots. Governor Pataki, with his vice presidential ambitions, is trying to convince the Republican Party that he's a hardliner, and lapdog Bloomberg is following his lead, saying that the union is thuggish, that the union is killing New York City, but the shots are being called from upstate. The shots are being called by Pataki, and this is why we're in the mess that we're in right now. The MTA has at least a $1 billion surplus. That's $1 billion they've admitted to. But as we know, in the past, when they've said that their finances are such and such, they're something completely different. I think that the state controller, Hevesy, should do an immediate audit on the books of the MTA to find out how much money they really have.
In effect, there were audits on the MTA's books, and it was found that the transit authority has been hiding hundreds of millions of dollars that belong to the public. The TA used the same deceit to deny their workers decent wages 3 years ago. And I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And neither are the transit workers who have really drawn the line at not giving back their pension plan, not for its present members, nor for their future heirs. And that is of critical importance. And we do need to also mention that the judge today in state Supreme Court, I was there, imposed a $1 million per day fine on the striking transit union. It's an awful, awful day for labor, and one where there has to be enormous fortitude on our part, and indeed an absorption of this fine that's been imposed.
And what they're trying to do is to cause the union to accept an agreement where the new generation of workers would be sacrificed in order to get a contract, and the TWU quite rightly is saying that this is not something that they will do when they couldn't force the TWU to accept a lesser pension plan. What they do is to say that the new workers should pay 6% into the pension plan. That's 6%. They're willing to give raises of 4%, 3%, and 3.5%. That would totally cut out the raises that were given for the new hires. This is totally unacceptable. When are we going to learn that you cannot sacrifice the new generation, that people should be earning more as the society progresses, that we should not be unraveling the society? And TWU has taken a principal position on this, and we should all applaud them and support them. What you're going to be listening to is more sound from the rally that we gathered. It is of the community and labor groups of the politicians who are supporting the TWU and who are coming out and came out to say that Pataki should back off. It begins with State Senator Diane Savino.
Labor's in the house! Who does this city belong to? Labor, right?
Hello, my brothers and sisters. Pete Gorman from the fire offices of New York City. We're here with you today, tomorrow, and through the end. I am a proud son of a local 100 car inspector for 33 years. They tried to break this union in 1966, and they failed. They tried to break this union in 1980, and they failed. And they'll fail again if labor stays with you. And God bless my fire offices, SEIU, the building trades, IBEW, public sector workers, private sector workers, white collar and blue collar. They will not break labor if we stand together. Too many people think the power of this city lies in corporate America in those towers and in the governor's mansion. Well, they better get out of that ivory towers, because the power of this city is on the streets right now. And we will not be denied if we stand together. We're here with TWU today, but the fight for tomorrow is for the working class people of this city and this state. Don't let them attack your pensions. Last year, Governor Schwarzenegger came to this city with his defined contribution benefits plan, and we told him to go packing. New York firefighters were here, California nurses, teachers, cops, and we told them no. And Roger Toussaint should say the same thing. You're not going to attack future middle-class workers by giving us a petty raise today. The future generation of this city, we deserve to stay middle class. Don't let them sell you out. Stay strong, and God bless the transport workers. Thank you.
Who got the power? What kind of power? Who got the power? What kind of power? We need to recognize the members from the city council. We have Robert Jackson. We have Lou Fiddler. We have Al Van here. David Weppern. Yvette Clark.
Who else?
The assembly snuck in.
The assembly snuck in. Jose Peralta. Okay?
Quick.
Councilman David Weprin, Chair of the City Council Finance Committee, I'm with you all the way! TWU.
There you go.
They say, give back! Give back! Give back! Give back! Let's give Pataki a little message. These are his last year's governor, and certainly at this rate, he ain't going nowhere national except in the dumps, right? Let's send him to the Staten Island landfill.
Come up with the moolah, moolah. Come up with the moolah, moolah. Hop, hop, hop.
All right, all right. Welcome to the Hopping Giant Steel Band.
Four or more.
Five or more,
five or more,
six or more,
seven or more,
eight or more,
nine or more,
10 or more,
11 or more.
Senator Jose Serrano, Senator John Sabini, and Assemblyman Richard Gottfried, please give him a round of applause. And Jose Rivera. We have Senator Diane Savino.
What do we want? When do we want it? What do we want? When do we want it? We're here across the street from the governor's office, Governor George Pataki, who controls the MTA. He makes the most appointments. He has been remarkably absent from this negotiation. And we are here asking him to call upon his appointees in the MTA to negotiate in good faith. We have to do that because we see the MTA is not negotiating in good faith. By their refusal to remove from the bargaining table an issue that they do not have the right to bargain collectively over, which is pensions. The fastest way to a strike is to demand something that you don't have the right to and you know the union will not accept. The MTA holds the future of the Transport Workers Union and a potential strike for New York City in their hands. And I stand here before you with my colleagues from the New York State Senate, Senator John Sabini, who's the ranker on the Transportation Committee, and Senator Jose Serrano. And we bring you a message from Senator David Patterson, the minority leader of the New York State Senate. We have sent a letter to the Public Employees Relations Board, demanding that they grant the injunctive relief sought by the Transport Workers Union to remove this pension issue from the table, go back to the table, and bargain in good faith. The fate of the New York City transit system lies in their hands, not yours.
Edgar Romeby, Executive Vice President of United Here, Secretary Treasurer of Change to Win.
Brothers and sisters, are we ready? Are we ready? What is it that we want today? And when do we want it?
Now.
When do we want it?
Now.
And we're gonna get it as long as we stick together. The Change to Win unions in this city, along with the AFL-CIO unions, are gonna stand together because this is not your fight alone. It's our fight, and we're gonna win it as long as we stay together. The MTA and Mr. Calico needs to understand that the TWA transit workers, the workers in this city, they need health care, they need decent wages, they need a decent retirement fund, and we're not going to turn back the clock like they want us to do. We will stand shoulder by shoulder as long as it takes and as long as it's necessary for us to get a fair contract, and we're not going to accept nothing less. We will not be intimidated. We will not be threatened. We will not be bulldozed into accepting a contract that will destroy our dignity. And we are here to say to you, all workers in this city are affected, and we will stick together. What do we want? What do we want? What do we want? And when do we want it? And if we stick together, we'll get it. Stay strong.
That was Edgar Romeby. Give him a round of applause.
And we will stay strongly behind and with our sisters and brothers until they get a decent contract. Support TWU Local 100 for Building Bridges. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash on the TWU strike.